This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Why have you dove in so deep into NFTs?
I think the biggest reason I've gone so hard into NFTs is, for me subjectively and intuitively, I believe that it is the biggest consumer shift since social media and Web 2.0. That it is very clear to me, based on my instincts and my history in business and kind of being a behavioralist, now I'm realizing, watching what people do, that this will happen, this has happened, and I just don't see a world where NFTs are not an infrastructure in our society. Right now it's very obvious that it's collectibles and art, but these are smart contract visualization, right? So this is homes and leases, and I can't imagine not every ticket being an NFT in a decade. So once I realized it was this big, I only know one move, all in.
What was that realization for you?
You know, it's funny, I was just talking to somebody, what was my realization? I can't actually recall the singular piece of content that was the eureka moment, but it was December 30th through mid-January, this 2-3 week special period of time where between 6, 7, 9 hours a day, you know, if I was really busy at work, 7 p.m. to midnight. If I was a little less, you know, I was hacking at it, cutting a 45 minute meeting to 15 so I could get 30, to get 30 minutes more of what is an NFT or a counterpoint to something that I was feeling. I think I wanted a well-rounded point of view, but I remember it might have been the day before Valentine's Day. I'm remembering it's mid-February where I truly had the true eureka moment where I stood up from my laptop at my kitchen table, stood up and said, thank you, God. Because I realized that not only did I recognize there was this new big shift like I saw in .com and like I saw in social, but I was a unique position of my career where I had leverage financially for the first time in the three times, reputation, community, but most of all, it was also about, in its first phase, collecting, flipping, knowing, like that's what I'm good at. I've been training for 40 years in sports cards, in comic books, in toys, in garage sales, in premium wine. I've been training for this moment my whole life. So the eureka moment happened it was happening from December to mid-February, and there's really no turning back now.
So, like, one thing you're a master at is brand building. So when looking at brands, specifically big brands, like, what's the biggest potential for them in the NFT space, and like, what does a successful foray look like for a big brand moving into NFTs?
You know, if you're a big brand, a Fortune 500, a Fortune 5000, the biggest opportunity is that you've learned from social media, right? Social media was a place where brands were too slow and too brands, meaning they weren't authentic enough, they weren't transparent enough, they weren't clever enough, they weren't cool enough, they weren't relevant enough. And that just happened. That was 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9. My hope, and we'll see, because big companies love to do things wrong. My hope is that the executives are still there. They remember the feelings of how wrong they were about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. And they say, maybe we need to do this differently. A, I'm already feeling that. B, here's the big one, brands. Unlike everything you do in marketing, where you can hide behind a headline or a fake report, when you launch an NFT project, the entire world has access to the fact of it being successful or not. Think about that. So number one goal, and you know, I started a company called Vayner NFT to work with brands, is I'm trying to slow down brands. Don't do an NFT project to get a headline and be like, oh, we're clever. You need to do an NFT project that's actually successful. And my real hope is that people realize that. You're now on the record and you're selling something. This isn't a marketing campaign. It can be a marketing campaign, but you still have results, and so I'm really excited about it.
So to flip that a little bit, for artists who are just coming into NFTs from smaller entrepreneurs, what's one tip or a few tips you'd give them in terms of getting started in NFTs?
You know, the biggest thing I think about when I think about small artists or entrepreneurs is A, kiss the ground right now. You are so fortunate to be in a moment like this. This is special. This is a gold rush. You know, most of us, actually, let me rephrase, all of us were not alive when everybody in New York or St. Louis were like, hey, if you go to California at a pick and shovel, you could get gold. Like, we didn't, this is that big of a deal. Now, if you're a historian of the gold rush, yes, there were many people and still families to this day that trade on Uncle Tom's great move to going to California back then, but there was a lot of people that lost money. A lot of people that got sick, a lot of people that got depressed. So my number one, by far, point of view is be grateful and patient. Be grateful that you're at a moment that's this big. You are a person that was gonna be a graphic designer at a company and now you're famous and making millions. That's wild. But be patient, just like influencer marketing. For every Charlie D'Amelio and Logan Paul, there's a lot of people in the middle and the long tail that are making $100,000 a year doing something they love, and that's even more exciting in my mind. So you don't need to be a millionaire like Fawocious and Xcopy and Beeple. If you're watching right now, wouldn't you love to just make art full time and have a roof over your head? And that's amazing that you can do that now, because it wasn't easy to make $50,000 in sales and art just 2 years ago, and now it's obtainable. Number two, don't be audacious. The number one thing I'm seeing now is artists getting mad that they're not successful. Mad. The entitlement is extraordinary. Just because you're making art doesn't mean people should spend money on it. People like Gary, you're, well, of course, yours is doing well. You had a big community. I'm like, I earned my community. I worked for the last 15 years. I spent all of 2007 to 2011, 15 hours a day answering people on Twitter. I did that. Just because you haven't yet, that's okay, because you can start right now being active on Discord and Twitter and Clubhouse and come to Art Basel and network. But it's gonna take you time. It's gonna take you time. Some of you are so talented and the right person fell in love subjectively on your art, gave you love and you exploded. But for the 99.9% of you, you need to spend the next 9 years building community, building narrative of who you are as an artist and build up. The fact that you even can is something you should be grateful for.
And to kind of wrap up this part of it, with Coinbase NFT coming, you know, we have tens of millions of users. What do you see happening when potentially 70 million plus people get onboarded to the NFT economy?
Let there be no confusion, and not because I'm sitting here with y'all, because I'm always on the record. There is no bigger thing brewing right now in the space than the potential of what this Coinbase thing may be. If this hits and you get that much of an influx of first time users, because a platform that people used on the financial side have a very easy way to get into NFT because they're playing within the ecosystem that they're accustomed to. I mean, I'm holding my breath out of excitement. By the way, because I like to shoot it straight, it may not be a windfall, maybe a lot of those people, but even a million new people is staggering to this space because we're still in the hundreds of thousands. And so, I'm antsy in the best way, meaning I just can't wait for y'all to get it done because I just want to see what's going to happen those first 30 days. I'm excited for the artists, I'm excited for the projects. You know, I am macro concerned in general that everyone's too focused on the money. And if you think about a lot more people coming in, prices will go up and people might even get more about the money. And money matters. That's how you pay for food. You can't, tough to trade art right now for a bacon cheeseburger, but I do think that people have to be thoughtful about their behavior, but to answer your question directly, the moment is extraordinary, and it is one of the big moments of 2022, because if it hits, it takes the space to a completely different level.
Thank you. Do you wanna, so let's switch gears a little bit, do the behind the wallet thing. Do you have like your NFT collection accessible on your phone?
Where's my phone?
The gallery. I know you have your gallery link. That'd be dope to just like kind of scroll through.
What we've been doing, people, is we're getting some shots of them scrolling through their NFTs and just like just asking a couple questions about their collection, why they bought and stuff. So just let us know when you got that pulled up.
The problem is my visual might be a little challenging and I think we need to be thoughtful. I'll tell you why. So many people spam drop me.
Do you have like a liked or a favorites gallery?
I don't, but I can
give you like one off.
I got an idea. I got an idea. Can you hold this?
Yeah.
Now, you guys, I assume, have no problem if it's OpenSea or you do.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I think the main important thing is like to get the story behind like why you're gravitating to this project, like
100%.
What's your vibe on it, and like
totally.
Maybe even this question is like, if you had one NFT to hold on forever, what would it be, type of thing? So
I can absolutely scroll here and give you.
Yeah.
I got a great way to start. I'm just gonna riff. Play with me here for a sec. You know, when I go through my collection, you know, Women and Weapons, World of Women, Plasma Bears, Creature World, Me Bits, Brain Vomit. As I keep scrolling, and you know, Deadheads, Swampverse, these are all things, On-Chain Monkeys, MFers, Punk Comics, Curio Cards, CryptoPunks, Bored Ape, Cool Cats. They all have stories to me, right? Strawberry.wtf, Avastars, the icon. You know, as I keep going through these, they've all have meaning to me. Long neck ladies, right? I remember when I bought them, why I bought them, what was on my mind, what was I thinking about, what got me excited that day. LaMelo Ball's collectible, is that right? Like early in sports, people of somebody I believed in. I was very scared to buy NBA Top Shot because I thought most would go down. Not because I think NBA Top Shot's amazing, I just know how collectible cards work. 99% go to garbage because they don't become LeBron, right? So buying LaMelo because I thought LaMelo was going to be a beast, right? You know, Mumbat, you know, her work. Monkey Bet Dow, I remember thinking, oh, a casino on the chain with art. You know, Candy Digital, which I'm on the board of, sports cards similar to NBA. You know, just it's fun to like scroll through here and think about Alpha Betty Doodles, right? Kind of kids book first time I saw. Wanted to do something around autism. Like I felt compelled to, you know, pick those up. Koala Intelligence Agency. It was a hot one that popped. And I'm like, could this be the next Bored Ape? And I spent a ton of money on the number one rarity one. The project is still doing nicely, but it didn't become that. And boy, did I lose a lot of money on that. And that's like fun for me. I'm like, I knew I was taking a high risk, high reward bet on that. Cool Cats Events, airdrop tokens from owning it. That's fun to see in my wallet.
Choose one community.
Yeah.
Well, which one would you, like, what's your favorite one that you're a part of?
One community that I'm most thrilled to be a part of, probably some sort of tie between Creature World. I would say the following, because it's just the truth and I'm not trying to be politically correct. World of Women, Creature World, Brain Vomit, Women and Weapons, all kind of sit in a very, Curio Cards a little bit, but I'm a little less active. Those four kind of really sit in the same place to me. They represent four projects that have real artists.
Can we repeat that? They represent four projects.
They represent four projects that have real artists, that have real community, that feel to me that the majority of the makeup is not day trading, flipping life, which I don't think is bad. I just think it's bad when people are like, I'm here for the community, but what they're really saying is I just want my bag to go. Those four stand out as like, okay, there's a high enough, and they got plenty of flippers in those four communities, but there's enough people in those communities. There's enough people in those communities that I think really care of, like, I want to own this art for 17 years. It makes me want to go in there, and I like going in there when I see the floor dropping, because as the elder statesman, I like going in there and being like, patience, right? And everyone gets excited because it kind of like, everyone's too stockbroker right now. When things are going down, their vibe's down. And I like going into those communities, reminding everybody, but you're here for the art. So who cares if it's a dollar or if it's $4 million, if you're holding it, you're good, right? And so those four stand out as communities I enjoy being a part of.
Last question. If you had to choose one NFT to pass on to your kids that they would never be able to sell, what would it be?
If I had to pick, vlog, this is the difference between me and D-Rock's ghetto style, where we just film regardless of the fucking background noise, and us respecting other really amazing creatives that we know prefer to not have that shit in the background. I fucking think it's great. That shit fires me up. But I also sleep with a sound machine at max noise, so chaos keeps me comfortable. I think that'll make sense to all of you. What's that?
You're ready for bed now.
Yeah, no shit. Trains, to this day, D-Rock, trains, like, weirdly get me tired because I grew up by a train track in Edison, and when the train would go out, lights out. That's how I got into time, I think, to sound machines. I think the reason I like sound machines so much is the thing that consistently put me directly to sleep was when I would hear the train from afar coming up, and when it passed, that's when I would sleep, which is why I live in New York City easily and all that other shit. It's why I'm an entrepreneur. I prefer the chaos. If I had to give one NFT to my kids that wasn't a V-Friend, I would probably give them... It's a really tough question. I would probably give them my X-Copy Plasma Bear. There's a project from 2018.
We also got it going. Bye.
We'll get it, we'll get it, we'll get it. No, you're the best, thank you. There's a project from 2018 called Plasma Bears that really matters to me. One, World of Women, Women and Weapons, Mumbot. You know, my mother's my hero, my business hero, even though she never spent a day in a business. We're gonna keep that in the background this time because it is from my heart. So I've been very thoughtful and focused on trying to seek out female artists that I enjoy. Plasma Bears, done by a female project in 2018, Angelique is no G, had 5 or 6 or 10 different artists make the bears. One of those artists was X-Copy. X-Copy in the last 3-4 years has gone on to become easily one of the most collectible and most expensive and most sought after artists in the world. Gary, me, as a collector, loves provenance and origin. It's why I like NFT. The fact that somebody did a little project for probably a couple of bucks, I don't know the details, but went on to become the X-Copy. There's something, just everything for me about it. It's actually happening right now. There's a bunch of kids right now doing stuff that in 7 years are gonna be the ones, and the stuff they're making right now is grossly underpriced from a collectible historical value. Female-led project in 2018. X-Copy made 3 bears, and here's the best part. They did it on a side chain. That side chain failed. Layer 2. It crashed, disappeared. The bears were on there. They gave the community, this chain, very little time to know that you could get your bears over. So many of the bears burned in the ether. Gone. Like, in essence, my favorite stories, burned in a fire, right? Like, why Mickey Mantle's rookie cards are so valuable. Tops threw them in the water. So like, everything that my collector and origin and provenance is, happened in this project. Female-based project, early, by the way. Burnt, lost bears, so there's less than there should be. And one of the 5 most important artists made it. I figured that out. Found 3 X-Copy full bears, because it was like Build-A-Bear. You had to buy the pieces to make the bear. I found 3 clean X-Copies. Every arm, every body, every heart, every head was from X-Copy. I have 3 clean bears. Right now, they are my prized possession NFT.